Now then, welcome back to Rare Anyone Talks. Before we kick off tonight's show,
viewer discretion is advised.
It's advised because sometimes we go very strange and in the mud. We go very deep in that mud into strange places. Will we go to strange places tonight? Who knows? But we are talking time travel, folks. We are talking time travel paradoxes. Not just time travel, but in a whole. Some of the paradoxes around time travel. This doesn't feel like it's going to be a one episode. This feels like it could be a little mini series. Time travel has fascinated humanity for centuries, from ancient myths to modern science fiction. But what happens when we start to unravel the complexities of traveling through time? Today we explore some of the most intriguing time travel paradoxes that challenge our understanding of reality. Yes, we are going to have a look at some paradoxes. We've got the grandfather paradox. We've got the bootstrap paradox, the pedestrian paradox, the many worlds interpretation paradox. We've got it all. We're going to have a look at it all, folks. But before we kick off with the show, as I normally do on these, I normally do drink. And I've been drinking. I've already just done a little range of, I imagine it's called their American range. And if you're listening in America, I know you do have Aldi over there, but whether they do an Aldi cider range, it's probably an English cider range. But we are drinking a Taurus, so it's Aldi's own cider brand. And this is peach cobbler. Oh, and it's wet, baby. It is wet. It's been chilling. I've just found key lime pie flavored cider, and this sounds like this is going to be delicious. Peach cobbler, folks. Peach cobbler. Now I'm just going to get myself a little cloth to wipe the goodness down. And there we go, folks. We've wiped it down. We are ready to crack this open. So cue that game music and let's do a review of this peach cobbler flavored cider. It's only 3.4%. I'm showing it to the camera, but you guys are listening. What the hell? And I'm just trying to open it. There we go. It smells chemically. You've got that peach smell, but it smells chemically. Oh, I'm not a fan, folks. I'll drink it. It doesn't taste like peach cobbler. You've got peach, but it does not taste like peach cobbler. And I was really looking forward to that. I was hoping this was going to... Because the key lime pie flavoured, absolutely delicious, and it does taste like a key lime pie. But then the week before, I think I had a apple pie flavoured cider. And again, that just tasted very chemically. It's not the best, but for 99 pennies, it's not bad. I would not go out and buy it, but if it's there myself, I'll drink it. I'm not a fan of that. I'm going to give that 5.4, folks. Everyone knows the rules. One chug, everyone knows the rules. 5.4, yes. Anyway, cut that game music. Let's get on with tonight's show. Because I think we ain't going to break down time travel in one episode. This might be a series of episodes. And I'm a functioning retard, folks. I am a functioning retard. I understand time traveling, but my brain and my mouth are not connected in the best ways possible. So I may trip up. I hope I don't. I may trip up, but my dyslexia is all over the place as well. So beware. If you're playing a shot game, fucking hell, you're about to get absolute fucking wrecked. You're going to get wrecked, peeps. But yes, a little advert from myself. if you are listening, so you all know, if you've been listening to me a while, I'm trying to build my little corner of the internet. I'm trying to build my little podcasting empire. I'm trying to build my YouTubing empire and Rumble empire. I'm trying to build. It is a grind, but I am having so much fun doing it. There is a few free things you guys could absolutely do what would absolutely help me out massively. Now, podcast side, there's only a couple of things, but they are massive and they are absolutely free to do so. I wouldn't ask if they wasn't free. So, podcast side, hit that follow button on whatever podcast provider you are listening to. Hit that follow button. If you have a few free minutes left, if you have a few free minutes and you think, yeah, this geezer's not too bad. He's not too bad. He does a funny review every now and again. Please think about leaving me a review. I'll try and read it out. One star, five star, it doesn't matter to me. It's all engagement, baby. It's engagement, and if it is a one star, it might help me grow. If it's a five star, it might just be something nice. Or it could be a one star, and you'd be an absolute fucking arsehole. Oh, well, it's what it is, the internet at the end of the day. Now, YouTube and Rumble, there is a whole load of things you can do on these. Both are very similar, both are pretty much the same. So first free thing you could do is hit that subscribe button. Absolute massive to small creators. I am a small creator. Absolute massive. Hit that subscribe button. It's bloody awesome. Now, right next door is the like button and the dislike button. And at the end of the day, they're both engagements. So if you like this style of content, smash that like button. I hope you smash the like button rather than the dislike button. But at the end of the day, they're both engagements. Their YouTube will see that. Their algorithm will see, oh, engagement, engagement, engagement. And I assume it's pretty much similar on Rumble. The next free thing to do is hit that share button. Hit that share button and share with people you think that might like my style of content. Work colleague, family member, loved one, you know, someone you just met on the bus, you know, share it with them and I may get a subscriber thanks to you. Now, the last free thing, which I think is the most important free thing to do, especially for small creators, it's absolute massive for small creators, and that's get in the comment section. Get in that comment section, absolute free to do so, and your opinion really does matter. Whether you like this video or you don't like this video, or you like my style of content or you don't like my style of content, you let me know your thoughts and opinions, because it's free to do so and it's your opinion at the end of the day, and it's very important. Ah, that out of the way. I smashed that advert. What other adverts could I smash? Could I smash the old Sunny D advert? Oh, what do you fancy to drink? Oh, purple stuff. Yay. I'm not quitting my day job anytime soon, folks. But yes, let's kick on with tonight's show. So let's start with one of the most famous time travel paradoxes, the grandfather paradox. Imagine you travel back in time and accidentally prevent your grandfather from meeting your grandmother. This means your parent and consequently you would never be born. But if you were never born, how could you travel back in time to prevent the meeting in the first place? This paradox raises questions, causality, and the very nature of existence. Would you, if you did that, if you travel back into the grandfather paradox, would you force yourself into a loop, so continue to relive them a little bit like Groundhog Day? Would you continue to relive that same day, or would you just be like Marty McFly? And talking about Marty McFly, let's now dive into one of the most iconic time travel stories of all time, Back to the Future. The classic movie series not only entertained millions, but also introduced many to the concept of time travel and time travel paradoxes. Let's explore some of the key paradoxes presented in the trilogy. In the first film, Marty McFly accidentally travels back to 1955 and prevents his parents from meeting. This creates a classic example of the grandfather paradox. He also creates a little weird thing with his mother. Futurama do a little bit better, but he creates something weird with his mother. If Marty prevents his parents from meeting, he risks raising his own existence. The movie cleverly visualizes this with Marty's family photo, where he and his siblings start to disappear as the time changes. It's funny that I'm pretty sure the older sibling starts to disappear first, and then the younger... Matt is the youngest, so then the middle sibling starts to disappear, and then Marty starts to disappear. Now, I wonder if maybe the middle sibling had came back, his sister, and she was the Marty in the film. Would she be the last one to disappear? Or that's a question I've always had. I assume she would be the last to disappear, but at the end of the day, it's an entertaining film. Another interesting paradox in the Back to Future is the bootstrap paradox, which we'll go over in a minute. In the second film, Back to Future Part 2, Marty and Doc travel to the future, where they obtain a sports almanac. Biff Tannen steals the almanac and uses it to make himself rich. When he returns to the past, this creates a new timeline where Biff is wealthy and powerful. The paradox here is that the almanac's information exists in a loop with no clear origin. So the bootstrap is also known as the ontological paradox. This involves an object or piece of information that exists without ever being created. For example, a time traveler brings back a book from the future to the past, and that book is then used to write the same book in the future. This question is, where did the book originally come from? Well, we know in Back to the Future, the book originally came from that old shop. I can't quite remember the shop. So yeah, I actually do have an almanac behind me, Back to the Future almanac. So where was that book? Where was the origins of that book? It's not the most complex of the paradoxes in my mind. Someone was always going to write that book, because in the almanac, it's not like it was a made up story. This was an almanac of events what happened. So Muhammad Ali beat this fighter on this date. The Chicago Bears won is it the World Series? I'm pretty sure that it's World Series. Or Tampa Bay winning the Super Bowl. Or Tottenham Hotspurs winning the Premier League on this day. These are all events what happened in the past or future. Interesting. And Back to Future does it. It's such awesome. Number two, I would say probably number two is my favorite, but all three of them are up there. All three of them. And it's maybe a little bit like Lord of the Rings. There's three films of the Lord of the Rings, but I always class them as one film, because it's a story of just pure awesomeness. Yes, it's been broken up into three films, but if you've got 9 hours to spend, if you've got a day to spend watching Lord of the Rings, which I've done many a times, you've got a great fucking day ahead of you. And the same with Back to the Future. These are all three films. There's three separate films, but they all tell a singular story. Fantastic. Absolute fantastic. Directed perfectly as well. But I like to think two is probably my favourite, but three. Number one has some iconic scenery, some iconic music. Sandman, you know, Enter the Sandman. Not Enter the Sandman, fucking hell. Earth Angel. It's got some iconic sounds, which you do actually hear in the second film. But just to see the future from the 80s, just to see the future, and it was just... And now, being past that future point, where's all the hovering stuff? Where is it all? Where is all the hovering stuff? it was probably one of my favourite growing up. But yes, so Back to the Future 2 is more of a bootstrap paradox. Now, the trilogy also touches on the pedestrian paradox. So, the pedestrian paradox, let's have a quick... The pedestrian paradox is another fascinating paradox. This occurs when a time traveler is caught in a loop of events that... So, I've been saying this word wrong all night, the predestination paradox, or the pedestrian paradox. So this is when a time traveler is caught in a loop of event of predestination, or let's read it out together, folks.
Predestines,
then to travel back in time. For instance, imagine you travel back to prevent a disaster, but your actions inadvertently cause the very event you were trying to prevent. It's a classic case of you can't change the past. Is this similar to the butterfly effect? Is this a similar outcome, the butterfly effect? But let's have a quick look back into the part three. So the trilogy. So in Back to the Future Part 3, Marty travels back to 1885 to save Doc Brown. However, their actions in the past set off a chain of events that lead to the very situation they were trying to avoid. This raises questions about whether their actions were predestined or predestined. I'm pretty sure it's disdained.
Predestined.
I've got to read it out, folks.
Predestined.
And if they could ever truly change the past, yes, could they actually change the past, or is time just been written for everything? So if you try and go back, the timeline will try and just say you've put it off for a day or two, but the timeline will maybe come round and stop it or go ahead with it. It's definitely interesting. And Back to the Future 1, 2 and 3, fantastic movies. And I often overlook the Back to the Future. People ask me, what's your favourite films? And Lord of the Rings is up there. And then Terminator 2, Judgment Day, is always up there. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I generally forget Back to the Futures. And I absolutely love Back to the Futures. I've probably seen them about as many times as I have seen Terminator 2. Although, I say that, I've seen Terminator 2 a wild amount of times. Grew up with that film. Watched it many, many, many times. I would have loved to have seen it at the big screen. And maybe have to try and keep my eye out for if it's been re-released into the cinemas. So I would have loved to have seen it at the cinema. Same with Back to the Future. But yes. So that is a couple of... Well, so there we... So there we go. Back to the Future. Not only hits one of the paradoxes, but it hits three of the paradoxes that we're going to have a look into. Finally, let's explore the many worlds interpretation. This theory suggests that every action creates a new parallel universe. I love the many world interpretation. I love multiverses. I love it. Well, I don't like multiverses in film and TV, but as an idea, has a, I wonder if we are actually living in a multiverse. Very, it's something we can't prove, but it's something we can't disprove, if I'm understanding that correctly. So when you travel back in time and change something, you create a new timeline, avoiding paradoxes, but leading to an infinite number of parallel universes. That number, infinite. It's never ending. Never ending, baby. That number is never ending. So let's explore the mind-bending theory that challenges our very understanding of reality. The many worlds interpretation. This theory, first proposed by physicist Hugh Everett in 1957, suggests that every possible outcome of the quantum event actually occurs, but in separate parallel universes. So in one universe, I flick a coin. In this universe, it's heads. In another universe, it's tails. In another universe, I don't catch it. In another universe, I don't actually flip it. In another universe, I use a different coin. And in that universe, that different coin lands on heads. And in another universe, it lands on tails. In another universe, I don't flip it. And it goes on. It goes on and on. It's infinite possibilities. Infinite. Maybe one of them universes, I'm not actually human. Maybe I'm a silicon-based life form. And the coin I'm flipping is some sort of badger coin. I don't know. I just made something up there. It's very interesting. It's one I find most fascinating. I find them all very fascinating. I really do. But this one is my jam, baby. It's my jam. Imagine you're flipping a coin, so which I've just said. In every everyday experience, it lands either heads or tails. But according to the many worlds interpretation, every time you flip that coin, the universe splits into two. One where the coin lands on heads and the other where it lands on tails. This means that there are countless parallel universes, each representing different outcomes of the event. This theory helps to explain some of the perplexing phenomena in quantum mechanics, where particles can exist in multiple states at once, until observed, instead of collapsing into a signal state, as traditional interpretations suggest. The many worlds interpretation posts that all possible states are realized in different universes. One of the most fascinating implications of this theory is that this sidestep many of the paradoxes associated with time travel. If you travel back in time and change something, you don't alter your original timeline. Instead, you create a new parallel universe where the changes take place. This avoids the grandfather paradox and other causality issues, as each action simply branches off into a new reality. It can get very fucking complicated for my little head. While many of the many worlds interpretation remains a topic of debate among physics, it offers a captivating perspective on the nature of reality and our place within it. It suggests that every decision we make, no matter how small, creates a new universe, leading to an infinite number of parallel worlds. So there is a few paradoxes, many worlds interpretation, which we will, in this little series, delve into each one a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper, a little bit harder, maybe, a little bit faster. But let's have a look at, is there any evidence of time travel or time travel being possible? The concept of time travel is fascinating. It's a fascinating one. But as of now, there is no concrete scientific evidence that time travel is possible. However, there are several theoretical frameworks and experiments that suggest it could be possible under certain conditions. Here are a few points to consider. So, Einstein's theory of relativity. According to Albert Einstein, theory of general relativity, time is not a constant and can be affected by the speed and gravity. This means that time can theoretically be stretched or compressed. For instance, time dilation occurs when an object approaches the speed of light, causing time to pass more slowly for the object relative to an observer at rest. So yes, wormholes. These are hypothetical passages through space-time that could create shortcuts for long journeys across the universe. If wormholes exist, they might allow for time travel. However, we currently have no empirical evidence of their existence. Or stabilizing a wormhole would require exotic matter with negative energy density, which has not been observed. Cosmic strings. These are hypothetical one-dimensional defects in the fabric of space-time, which could theoretically allow for time travel. If two cosmic strings were to pass by each other at high speeds, again, this remains purely theoretically. That's the one I don't get the most. Quantum mechanics. I don't get this one that much either, but we're going to try and dig into it, folks. We will try to dig in. Like, again, all these I will cover. I will delve a little bit deeper. So next week, we will try and delve deeper into the grandfather paradox. We'll try and delve deeper if there's stories, we'll try and delve into the science of it. I am a fit cunt, so maybe that might be a very short episode. And I maybe should have used this for the See You Next Tuesday. But quantum mechanics. Some interpretations of quantum mechanics, such as the many worlds interpretation, suggests that time travel could be possible without paradoxes by creating alternative timelines. However, this remains speculative and unproven. Experimental evidence. While there have been numerous claims of time travel, none have been significantly verified. For example, the story of John Titor, who claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2036, remains a popular internet legend but lacks credible evidence. There's been a few of these, and I know I have touched on the Philadelphia experiment, where that has a couple of time traveling people, a couple of time traveling stories. And the last one, Hawking's chronology protection conjecture. Stephen Hawking proposed that the laws of physics might prevent time travel on a microscopic scale, effectively protecting the timeline from paradoxes. This conjecture remains unproven, but is a significant consideration for theoretical physics. There's some massive words in there, and I didn't do too bad. My tongue was working overtime, baby. I can't say I reward myself with this delicious drink because it's not that nice. So while these points provide intriguing possibilities, They remain within the realm of theoretical physics and speculation. The scientific community continues to explore these ideas, but as of now, time travel remains a concept of science fiction rather than science fact. So, time travel paradoxes not only challenge our understanding of time and causality, but also make for captivating discussions. Wherever you're a fan of science fiction or a curious thinker, these paradoxes offer endless food for thought. That's all for today, folks. Like I said, this is a little mini series and we will delve deeper into all of these paradoxes. So that's all for today's episode of Rarity One Talks. I hope you enjoyed our journey through this perplexing world of time travel and paradoxes. If you have any thoughts or theories, feel free to share them with me on all social medias, which will be linked in the show notes. So don't be scared, get in contact with me. Until next time, folks, stay curious and keep exploring the unknown. Stay naughty, stay rude, but more importantly, stay fucking filthy. I will see you next week, you sexy bunch of bastards. Peace.